Good morning.
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 Looks like Ingolf is on vacation. We have six of us. Oh, seven. You got seven. Okay. All right. I hope everybody's doing well. Kevin, are you good to scribe?
Yes.
Great. All right. Let's do our updates. Maccabee, I pasted in your Slack update. I don't know if there's anything you want to say.
No, I mean, like I said in Slack last week, I knew I would not remember any details of that meeting by this week. So that's why I shared the notes then, and I don't. But I do think it's worth just mentioning that bullet point about the there's a couple separate cost groups right now. There's the AWS cost management group about like the sort of operational side of which new environments are being spun up and not. But that CC is also trying to look bigger picture at how to reduce costs, which could involve, non-AWS options as well, or whatever other things they might be considering. And then there were a couple other bullet points, Jen, that had your name on it or TC generally. So I just wanted to flag that here.
Yeah, and I actually had a question about this too. So, develop dashboard for tracking Jira points and cost metrics. I think that I was thinking of that as something that we would start after the initial counting things group. But it doesn't have to be. So I wonder if that actually needs to get added to the subgroup list. Maybe we won't do that today, but maybe folks can think about whether they would be interested in signing up for a subgroup for that. And then we'll see if we can get that off the ground. For the countings thing, that's right now, me and Christy from TC are on that. We've got a doodle poll out to get our meeting set up. I did have a question about the AWS. So these two groups, Wayne. You are on the one circle red. Does that refer to some kind of AWS thing?
This is the first I have heard that I'm on any such thing.
Oh,
So
okay.
that's fascinating. So no, I can't really give you any context because I don't know.
Okay. So my bigger question here is the AWS cost management group. Peter Murray is technically the technical council representative on that group, but he is on CC now, and we don't really ever hear from him directly. So I'm wondering if we want to add a CC, I'm sorry, a TC, an active TC member to the AWS cost management group. And if anybody is interested in that, I can go if nobody else wants to go, but I just wanted to bring it up because it feels like the relationship's a little weird right now.
I would be happy to serve in that capacity. That would be helpful.
Okay, great. Hopefully Kevin will note that in the notes. That so this is an AWS group that you do know you're on.
As of right now, yes.
As of right now. And maybe in that group you'll discuss the other group too. I don't know. Maccabee?
I did ask last week in the chat of the CC meeting why it was called One Circle Red and what that meant, and I didn't get an answer, so sorry. That's it.
Okay. It's got to be some like part of the AWS dashboard or something. Otherwise, that's very weird. Okay. PC, Christy, did you have anything you wanted to talk about?
The last two meetings, there's been a lot of discussion about the priorities for next year, which, as a reminder, are the community dashboard, community-driven design. Sorry, development. I don't know why I wrote design. And release management, communication, and roles. They've spent time talking about the formation of and membership of those groups and are opening up membership to people who are not on the PC. If there's anyone here who is interested in working on any of these subgroups. At the last meeting, there was a really interesting discussion that was spurred by the presentation by the metadata management SIG on their priorities. There was a lot of traction or and conversation around searching in inventory, which is one of the priorities, and also supporting MARC with features in the UI, and that evolved into a pretty high level discussion about balancing the need to support a format that is widely adopted, if not the most widely adopted format among Twilio users right now, and with the need and the desire for Twilio to be a format agnostic platform. I think that summarizes what's been going on for the last 2 weeks there.
Great, thank you. For RMS, we did meet this morning. There are CSPs being prepped for Sunflower and Ramsons. This should hopefully be the last one for Ramsons, not because of any support period thing, but because it's number 8, and there's almost no issues left. So that is hopeful. The AWS outage this morning had some impact on our automated like testing and various things, but they said that that is recovering. They asked for me to go over the support periods issue, and I did. They continue to kind of wait for us to make a decision. They didn't really have a lot of comment on the update that I gave. We did talk about that TC is now trying to scope its decision to the technical and security aspects, and that what we would expect is for if we adopt it, then PC and CC will need to respond or react in some way. And that even that might even need to happen before the RMS group really does much. So I think the ball continues to be in our court, and I put this on again later in the agenda. Security team says business as usual, but anything else?
No.
All right. Early adopters.
Hey guys. I think we meet this Wednesday. One thing that was raised or brought to my attention was that it's difficult to tell based on the spreadsheet I have linked here, how far along each of the early adopters are. So I pulled together a wiki page. I'll put a link in the chat here so we can make it and get it into the notes. And If you don't mind pulling it up real quick, just so you can see what's there. It's again basically the status of each of the early adopters, but and I haven't had a chance to discuss this on a call with the early adopters, but I did post about it in the chat. So some of them have gone in here and provided updates or clarified some things, but the idea is this gives a better high level picture of where the various teams are, right? So I think instead of tracking this information in two different places, a spreadsheet and this, we'll probably settle on using this. And if there's some other week to week or semi-weekly updates or something like that, maybe add another section below this. But I think this will probably take the place of the spreadsheet right now. I think it does a better job of showing who has, who's where in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah, that looks really great to me.
And I think that's it.
Thanks. Community-driven development. We did meet last week to kind of talk about the future of the group. Is there anything you want to add about that, Maccabee?
No, sorry. I don't think so.
Okay. Upcoming meetings. I got a little question mark here, but today is regular. I haven't decided on something for this Wednesday, or next Wednesday. So, but let's come back to this after the rest of our talking. Okay. TCR board review. Okay, we're still good there. Existing module evaluation. Any updates on this or anything we need to do?
I shared I shared the latest version of the PR just like a half hour ago. And it incorporates the changes that TC discussed at our last Monday meeting 2 weeks ago to massively slim down the actual number of like differences for existing module evaluation. We basically got rid of most of those exceptions. And so yeah, I incorporated that. I did add, as you can see here on line 15, I added a one-liner where we had made a year and a half ago a blanket statement that we knew we had to do some work to make existing module evaluations real. I added a one-liner saying, "Hey, we're doing it now." And then, as you can see for administrative criteria on line 56, we said to skip that criteria. I used the word inapplicable, which I think is a horrible word for English, but it's the word we're already using in that document to say when a criteria doesn't apply. So I figured it was good to just keep using that word. And then there was one other criterion, if you scroll down, that we still wanted to have a note on, which was for the RAML modules or the RMB modules to continue using RAML. Other than that, we had gotten rid of all of the exceptions. And to Wayne's comment, yeah, I could just say does not apply, right? But I wanted the person doing the evaluation to know that they should actually check that box because it doesn't apply, which we had apparently said up above, right? So we could change the language up above from inapplicable to does not apply, but at least right now it's consistent. So I'm guessing since this I think reflects the discussions last week, except for the one liner I added on the top, hopefully TC is good with this and we can just do the merge, but comment away.
Any thoughts? All right. Shall we approve this with lazy consensus? Going once, going twice. All right. I'll put an approve on there, and someone else can go in and do a merge. Great. Thank you. All right, subgroup updates.
Yeah, can you refresh, Jen? I wrote up an update so
Oops.
that whoever was taking minutes wouldn't have to type and type and type on this one. There, yeah, there we go. So a bunch of things here. The first one is I also shared to the Slack. There's a pull request 108 there that came out of the meeting, the community council's meeting at WolfCon. Peter and Kevin and I were there, and Peter shared the work in progress of our subgroup and the issues that we were having with, or the questions we were having surrounded LGPL in particular. And CC had a request for us related to that. If you could open up PR 108, please. Then you can see right there the language that the CC endorsed, asking us not to add new LGPL licensed dependencies pending CC reaching out with a set of questions that Kevin has written up with input from others to the legal counsel that we can get at. So this PR is essentially a one-liner. If you ignore the white space changes, it's basically a one-liner that says, by request of the community council, we're not going to add new LGPL license dependencies to that exceptions list.
Great. Do we have lazy consensus to merge this? Going once, going twice. Great.
Great, thank you. And then the rest of what I wrote up there is essentially coming attractions for the next for November mostly. We're cleaning up the Q&A document that we wrote up when we started the subgroup on questions that we were trying to answer as far as third-party licensing. That will just be our work product. So we're not explicitly asking TC review of that document. But there are a few things that we are pulling out of that we will ask for review on. As discussed at the last meeting with the language that I have italicized there, Alameda built a tool that checks all the boxes that we needed to check as far as being able to do a repeatable evaluation that addresses all the various languages we deal with and can expand in the future in other very helpful ways. So we're documenting and coming up with processes around that. And there'll be a couple of PRs that we'll have for TC review probably in November, as soon as a few more enhancements that Alameda is so kindly building there. So as coming attractions, we have a PR to the tool itself on how we would be maintaining the list of licenses as a sort of mirror of Apache's list. We have a PR 109 there that will recommend the tool for use during what we're suggesting would be a 6-month trial period as we see how it's workable. And that will also give us some time to add support for Go as well. And then for several months from now, next spring, another PR that should be in draft until then that would actually follow the pilot period and make it a formal required part of the evaluation. In other words, defining that evaluation criterion based on the output of the tool. So we'll bring all those three to the TC next month after we have that MVP ready. Well, except for 110, I suppose, which is next spring. As I said, we're pulling out a few questions from the work product to actually have TC review as PR 111 on how we should deal with some of the issues that come up while we're still waiting for the formal legal answers through community council. So all of those, all of these, it would be helpful for TC members to take an initial look at. We won't discuss them until probably November, but if people can take an initial look, that would be great. And happy to address any questions that people have so far.
Thank you. This is like a really impressive amount of work, you guys. A really, really good job by this subgroup.
I mean, giant thumbs up to Alameda for actually building a solution to our problems here, and definitely to Kevin for all the massive research and coming up with the prompts so that we can actually get you useful legal advice from the CC, and to Peter for that CC liaisoning and a lot of other helpful perspectives there. And people should really check out that tool because I'm sure Alameda will be doing a show and tell at some point. But it's pretty sweet.
Awesome. Thank you. All right. The other subgroups skip down. Documentation. My feeling was that you guys were getting close to being done. Are you done?
Yeah, we're done.
You're done. You're
Yeah.
okay. So I'm going to put completed. Great job. An actual like short-term subgroup that got their job done. That's terrific. All right, mod settings was just getting started. So do you all have an update?
There is an open question on Olexi, and I had no time last week to dig into it or to ask him again because I didn't get an answer, but we're working on it.
So when I put this on here, I just did it real quick so I wouldn't forget. What can I put down for the goal for this group?
But the gold, it's we have to clarify which settings from mod configuration have to be moved to another solution, and to propose a solution for it.
Thank you. Okay, so 2 weeks, do you think, to check in again?
Yeah.
Great. Thank you for taking that on. All right, don't think there's anything here. Okay. Decision log. I don't think we need to talk about mod configuration because that's going on in the subgroup, right? Okay. Support periods. So I missed the dedicated discussion on this, but I did read all of the notes because I had to talk about it at that RMS meeting. But it didn't seem like we came to a vote or an approval or anything. So I guess I wanted to clarify where we are, what our next step is on this. I don't know if anybody that was at that meeting wants to chime in, or Alameda or Julian or. Yep, Alameda.
Yeah, we discussed it quite a bunch. We were close to voting, but there was a significant discussion point towards the end, and we felt that discussion should continue. We mentioned that the proposal would be focused on security issues and P1 functional issues were outside of the document. We talked about presenting or passing the information along to the PC for responsibilities that needs to happen because the technical council can't determine when P1 functional issues can come about. Yes, from the notes and what you can glean from that, we still need to vote or tackle any concerns left.
Great. So we this is the only other thing we have left is to decide what our upcoming dedicated discussions are. So do we want to go ahead and use the next half hour to talk about this some more and see whether we actually need another meeting or see if we can get through it? It seems like we might as well use the half hour. I can say that at the RMS meeting, Jennifer Eustace from PC was there, and it sounded like she also thought that PC would kind of be waiting to see what TC did with this. Yeah. So, Alamine.
Yeah, we can discuss it in the rest of this meeting. If any of the TC members have concerns, let's talk about it. If not, then put it to a vote. In our discussions, it was communicated that the regardless of this support proposal, if there was a P1 security vulnerability in Spring, on January 15th, that the cost to remediate that would be too high. In a way, yeah, that would be the outcome just because of the amount of work involved. But yeah, I think we should raise concerns and vote on it.
So one of the things that got said in RMS that was somewhat clarifying for me was that Mark Vexler was there, and he was just sort of talking about the fact that EBSCO is in the process of getting all their folks moved to Sunflower, and once that happens, like they as a hosting company don't really have an incentive to have their teams working on security fixes for Ramsons. And that could happen even before Trillium comes out. So, and I guess I hadn't really thought of this before. The community, has relies on EBSCO to supply a lot of development resources. So the community, what the community says it's going to support needs to be realistic and can't always depend on EBSCO working on stuff if it's like further back than where their own customers are. So I don't know. And I when we're supposed to only be talking about the technical part, so but I guess I just think it's, I can see where there's good reason to be realistic about what the community can promise. And I do think that they found Alameda's matrix very useful, just in thinking about the options when things come up. So that said, do folks feel ready to vote on this? Christy?
I actually have a question, and pardon my ignorance if there's something that I'm missing here, but even if I'm wondering if there will be any such differentiation with Sunflower, given the proposal to allow for implementers to migrate to Sunflower still using Okapi. Will all of EBSCO's customers be using Eureka on Sunflower? And is there any risk in terms of support if we have split users, some using Sunflower on Okapi and some using sunflower with Eureka. I'm just trying to understand the implications of that.
Yep, that's understandable. Wayne?
I would say, Christy, that yes, there is risk. And it's risk that the group that is formed to provide that support is taking on. And so yes, there's certainly risk. I think the risk is manageable. But no, it would not be honest to say that there's no risk, of course. Also, I think that the question of support of sunflower on Okapi is a little bit orthogonal to this question, because this question is really mostly about underlying libraries for underlying code libraries that are going out of support, and the code libraries in, say, Okapi, mod auth token, mod users, mod permissions, mod login, are not going out of support in this period. So it's really about This is really mostly about Spring Boot, I think, and possibly Go.
Okay. Now
So
that helps contextualize this a lot for me. So I really appreciate that, and I'm sorry for needing that
no, it's an
clarification.
awesome question. Yeah, no, I think it's a great question. So I don't know if anyone else would. I mean, that's sort of my perspective. So, obviously anyone else who wants to comment should comment.
Julian?
The Okapi specific modules are maintained by Index Data and by me, and we can promise that they will be supported until the end of Sunflower support period.
Right, we're taking on the risk, right, that there would be something expensive to deal with.
Okay, thank you. I was just trying to, like I said, understand the context here and what's in scope and out of scope for what we're voting on. Thank you.
Yeah, along those lines, there's been a lot of discussion about the specific support period for Ramsin and the end date. But I think we should also keep in mind that this is suggesting a change to process that goes beyond, and maybe everybody else already has this in mind. But this before development for a flower release TC determines the end date of the support period, presumably based on the OST, and the OST. So that seems like the longer term change to keep in mind as we're considering this proposal. Wayne?
So, I mean, I don't want to sound like a broken record on this, but the thing that I continue to sort of bump up against is that while I understand that we can't afford to guarantee security support past the end date of the underlying libraries, P1 functional support is not like to say that we're going to not provide P1 functional support and therefore there are no more CSPs, feels like a change that is hard to support. When users make decisions based on a policy that says that that two releases are in support at once, and so there will be P1. They can expect like bug fixes, for things like data corrupting bugs, through the release, through the release of the next through the next release. So that's where I keep bumping up against sort of not really feeling like I can support this. I mean, I understand the security team's position, but I don't feel that it is appropriate to remove support for P1 functional bugs from the it's certainly practically speaking within this particular time period, right? Because we're now talking about a very tight turnaround for people to move to Sunflower. If we were to be strictly, try to strictly stay within the support period.
Makes sense. Alameda?
This particular line was written in scope of the proposal covering security issues and functional issues, with the proposal scope to security issues only. I think that particular line probably should be modified. It needs to change, because it doesn't make sense if this proposal is for security issues only, but then the technical council determines the support period for everything overall.
That is exactly what I was thinking while Wayne was talking. Is there some way to reword this to scope it just to security issues? The TC just says that we cannot provide security fixes after the end of support for such and such underlying dependencies. And that becomes the security policy that after that point, we only provide announcements and not fixes. Sorry, I muted myself before I called on you, Julian.
Well, this splitting that we get security announcement but no fixes is only for ramsons. This is a one-time exception. For all following Flower releases, that should be the same for functional fixes and for security fixes.
Why can't it be for the ones in the future too?
Well, it can be, but it's probably not needed, and it's crazy that you get different time scopes. Either it's officially supported, then you get both security fixes and functional fixes, or it's not supported, then you don't get anything. And in future releases, usually people can more easily migrate because they all have been already on Eureka and can faster migrate than currently, where they have problems with migration.
I see. So you're saying, so even if we had another Trillium situation where it got delayed, the real issue is that people haven't been able to get even to Sunflower.
Yeah.
I guess I like the idea of writing something that's works for everything. Alameda?
To your point and the context that you got from the RMS meeting this morning, I want to stress that this being it being split, excluding functional issues, is making it weird, but that o overall, current support policy of I think it's to the current release and the previous release would be changing based on aspects of this proposal. So if The technical council is not determining the support and period, via the supported technologies. It would seem that having our current support policy going forward would make less sense, as we tend to have longer release timelines, and then having underlying technologies be out of support. I wanted to stress that.
That makes sense. And we're certainly relying on this current situation of where everybody has kind of stayed together. And if that doesn't happen and the release periods keep getting longer, the community is just, it's not relying on itself. It's making a promise that it's not actually able to be able to back up itself. I guess I'm just wondering if there's some way to write this. I understand about the functional CSPs. But even those, it doesn't change, like, if EBSCO, let's not say EBSCO, if Index Data moves all of their customers onto a release and other customers from other hosting companies are still on a previous release, the community is just demanding that Index Data update modules and make functional releases for things that its own customers aren't even using. Are they going to do that forever? And can the community even say, make a promise that they're going to do that forever? And I know this is crossing it. This is part of the reason why it'd be nice to write this more targeted, because it just feels impossible to get around the funding and functional issue and state of security. Wayne?
I will say that it is certainly true that Index Data and EBSCO too put in work to support software that is not used by their own customers as part of just sort of community, the reality of the community, right? Like, I mean, that's that is something that people do. So and I so I don't think I mean, I understand Mark's point, Mark Vexler's point, and I understand sort of that he's trying to make people aware of the cost to EBSCO and the reason why they might accept that cost for a certain period of time and then might be less eager to accept it after a certain period of time. I think that the reality is that I guess I don't want to get too hung up on whether we get whether I mean the issue of being sort of out of sync with EBSCO right now has mostly to do with changes to the infrastructure and not really so much functional changes. And those changes to the infrastructure have affected EBSCO's timeline as well. And they are not going to be completely on Sunflower by January, was what Vex was what Mark said, I think, in the meeting 2 Wednesdays ago. So, let's not get too worked up about it. I think that we should try and we should not try and look too far into the future, because the part of the goal of application formalization is to get away from from Flower releases and to be able to update applications independently of one another. And so, we don't need to come up with a forever solution. I think we can keep our scope limited to really just talking about Ramsons and Sunflower at the moment. And let let the support period for Trillium be a problem for, maybe more like 3 to 6 months from now.
So given that, where you just talked about not looking to, so would you accept this?
Not as it stands, no. Because I do think that there's nothing in here about this still says that essentially we will not produce CSPs after December 31st, 2025. And I think EBSCO will pr probably produce a CSP if there was some. I mean, I think the likelihood that there's a critical data corrupting bug that's a P1 functional bug in RAMSOMs that hasn't come to light by the 31st of December 2025 is probably slim. But if it happened, I imagine that EBSCO would want to have it fixed for their customers, and so they would put resources into fixing it. Because
So,
they will still have customers on ramps.
yeah. So I guess that just brings me back to the split then. So, could we write this to say that generally the security period and the functional period are aligned? Ramsons is an exception. Julian?
Well, if you scroll down, you'll see there's the in the rationale section, you see that it's saying for Ramsons, the release management stakeholder group may approve priority one functional fixes after the end of the official Ramsons support period. And with a note that this sentence should be refined by the PCCC regarding funding and end date. So that the TC decides
Thank you.
on the
Yes,
security
I.
thing and the other councils on the functional issues.
Thank you. I think that addresses my concern.
So, what if we pull that up to the top?
Yeah, exactly. Just so that there's not any confusion about it saying two different things.
Are you okay with me doing that, Julian, or do you want to do it?
Just go ahead.
Sorry, since the message we've got is that folks want to react to us, why don't we just take this out, this thing about the refinement, and we'll just assume that they'll refine it if they want to. Does that work?
Yes.
Alameda.
So we just had the discussion to not have this to not try to solve the problem for the future. The document as it stands still, I guess, proposes a policy, umbrella leave and going forward. Do we want to scope this to Ramsen's Sunflower, or should we still go ahead and recommend a change to folio support policy?
So, in other words, would we like get rid of this part and just start with the Ramsen support period? Julian?
Well, this decision says that it overrides the official support recommendations and will replace it. And if I think we can say that it will be for all following flower releases. And if there is a need because of the application formalization, then we can make a new decision. So we can vote on it as it is and may change it in a year or in 2 years if there's a need.
That sounds good to me. My preference is that we are not making the support period policy change in isolation, but it seems everyone else is waiting for us. So I think we need to draw a line in the sand and then, see what comes after that. So it if yeah, go ahead, Wayne.
I think I agree with you, Alameda and Julian, and I also think that it is sensible to propose. I mean, it's sensible to propose a policy change going forward that is a refinement of our existing policy based on security concerns, based on technical security concerns. I think that that it is a reasonable proposal to say, going forward, we really need to say that our support ends when the underlying library support ends. But So I think that my concerns are really mostly with Ramsims and Sunflower and the plans that people may have around them, communication with for hosting vendors, communication with customers around what their timelines need to be, that kind of thing.
All right, let me count. Hang on. Okay, we still have seven of us, so we can vote slash lazy consensus on this. Let's start with lazy consensus, and then if we need to vote, we can. Is there a lazy consensus to approve this? Wayne?
I think before I think I need to understand what the so if we make this if we approve this, then this decision is subject to approval of other councils, or this decision is done, or what does that mean?
In my mind, it's we're done, and then they can make their own decisions in reaction to it. But that's just my thought. Julian?
Well, in the header of this, if you scroll up, I made it that the CC needs to also, sorry, that the PC needs to approve it. And if all PC also has approved it with changes or without changes, then it's decided.
Okay, so you're planning to go to PC after this then?
Yes, because it replaces the current support period decision by PC, so we cannot simply make a change without PC approval.
Okay, Shelley?
Yeah, I just have a question about protocol. How do we vote via lazy consensus? I don't know, or the other way?
So for lazy consensus, if everyone is basically like yes, then it just gets approved. But if during the lazy consensus period somebody says no, then we go to a vote. So basically, if you feel like no, you don't want this, just say so, and then we'll vote instead, which is totally fine. Okay, I'm going to ask again since we got that clarification about what's going to happen next, which is that this will then go to PC. So how do folks feel about doing lazy consensus? Do we have lazy consensus on approving this for TC? Going once, going twice. All right, the TC approves this by lazy consensus. Thank you. This means we don't know what we'll talk about on Wednesday, so Alameda and I will get together and figure something out, unless someone has a strong feeling right this minute. I do not. We'll get back to you guys on what we'll do on Wednesday. And that's it. We did so much work today that I think we've earned our 4 minutes back. We had a lot of time.
Woo-hoo.
Yay. Okay. Have a good rest of the day. Thank you,
Thanks,
everybody.
everybody.
Thanks,
Thank you.
everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.